And now we're going to bring on a speaker, again, who needs no introduction, a very special friend of mine, truly changed my life. And I've been on I've been on tours with him. I've watched him speak over 20 different times. I've watched him perform all those rap albums. And just the way this guy makes space for everyone in his life, he is the embodiment of freedom. And so without further ado, I want to bring on Derek Bros. Where's he at?
I woke up this morning feeling I had something to say. I got doubts on my mind. It's time to let them fly away. It's time to unlearn poison and heal broken hearts. Go back to the end. It's time for a fresh start. This is the place we can atone for our sins. This is the place where our hero's journey begins. A space between love and hate where there's no escape from our fate. Rather than be irate, let's create, let's build. The better world we know is possible. I've got no fear because we can overcome any obstacle. I stare all my demons in the face. I'll show you what's possible. I send love from my heart. I'm intuitive, not illogical. It's just that lately I've been searching for deeper meaning. I'm sick of drugs, booze, mindless sex, and criminal scheming. Feels like I should have more at this point in time. I'm talking knowledge, not money. I'm trying to feed my mind. Open up all three of my eyes and fly to the heavens. During my meditation, I see my life in chapters of seven. I connect to my inner child to heal my wounds. I remember those I've lost to dope, gone too soon. My life flashes before me, a collage of joy and pain. I recall the highs, the lows. I swear I'm going insane. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this journey. Spent too much time worried about things that don't concern me. No more time wasted, not chasing my dreams. I wake up every day knowing this world ain't what it seems. We got to make our own path. We got to find our own meaning because we can't be sure. We might be dreaming. All I know is when I look in your eyes, I see myself. I'm just a reflection of your impression of my higher self. Could it be that our whole reason for being, our existence, is a lesson to teach us over and over until we get this? You are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free. Shake off your chains. You were blind, but now you see. Grandfather, help us remember where we come from. Grandmother, walk with us until the battle is won. Thank you, guys. That's a song called Reflection. I perform music under the name 33, for those who haven't heard. I'll be performing Sunday night here. I think I got you for 45 minutes. Are you with me? You with me? You with me, Texas? You with me at home? I know we got 22 countries in. I'm sending love to you. My intention is to share some ideas, some big ideas. I hope that they keep your attention and you don't get lost in the weeds. My goal is to be coherent. If I say something that offends you, triggers you, makes you feel a certain way inside, all I ask is that you sit with it and you think about it and reflect on why you feel that way. My intention is not to offend or to upset, but it is to make things very clear about why I'm here, why I'm involved with the Greater Reset, and what my vision is for the future. Does that work for everybody? Okay. First thing I want to start off, and this is going to be totally unrelated to everything else I'm going to share with you, but it's a good starting point. 18 years ago, I was 20 years old, and I was addicted to crystal meth. I'd been a very depressed young little kid, cutting myself since a young age, hurting myself. The older I got, that turned into this anger. This sort of covering up my pain and realizing that I didn't want anybody to hurt me anymore. I was sick of being lied to by my birth father in and out of my life and being hurt by people. And I thought, you know what? I need to put a shell around. I mean, I didn't even consciously think about it. It just happened. I remember the moment it happened though. My father had come home from prison. He was supposed to be there for a Christmas. He wasn't there again. I'm in my grandma's house and I hear my grandma telling my mom he's already on the way back to prison. I walked into my grandma's bathroom and I remember just looking in the mirror and just crying my eyes out and saying, no one's ever going to fucking hurt me again. From that time, 14 till about when I got locked up at 21 years old, I became very self-destructive. The bright, beautiful being that was there was lost to the anger and the sadness. And that started to become, I'm the kid getting in fights at school. I'm the kid throwing chairs at teachers. I'm the kid getting arrested at school. And, you know, at the time, I was just trying to process all the emotions I had. None, you know, and with time, obviously, I can look back and see, wow, I was going through some stuff and I didn't know how to process it. But as this like angry 17, 18 year old, for one, I think I realized the school system didn't make sense, even subconsciously. I was very intelligent. I was in all advanced classes. In fact, I graduated 6 months early, went right into college while my friends were still in senior year of high school. But I was the kid that was getting arrested. That's all anybody knew me as. I think I was also looking for attention. I didn't know, I wasn't looking for the right attention, but I realized when I'm goofy and crazy, people laugh or they pay attention to me. That kind of feels good. So I was the, you know, doing all the weird stuff, getting arrested. But when I graduated high school, 18, start drinking a lot. And I was like, wow, this feels fun. This is exciting. So then I'm the guy who's taking 18 shots of tequila and puking all over the floor or falling all over the place at every party. And then that slowly led to being the guy that was taking Xanax all the time and blacking out and doing a lot of things, hurting people I cared about. Then that turned into being the guy who was on ecstasy for 6 months straight until I turned into a zombie and couldn't feel anything because I lost all my serotonin. And then that turned into me being introduced to crystal meth. And it was this basically this two-year period from graduating high school to getting locked up where I was just tumbling down, you know, and January 2005, I tried crystal. I was locked up by November 2005. And some of you heard me share this story, but in case you haven't, I want to share it again. The reason I'm starting here is because everything else I'm about to say after this is going to be more like practical. We need to create new systems and all that. But none of that matters if we don't focus on the healing. People familiar with my website, it's called The Conscious Resistance. Well, that came from this experience. I'm 20 years old. I get locked up and I thought I could take care of it real quick, so I signed for some paperwork. Long story short, I got screwed over, so I ended up getting 2 years felony probation plus jail time. Had to call my mom and let her know, okay, something's going on. I got arrested. I thought I could take care of it. Eventually, I had to face the fact that I'm not going anywhere for a year. Has anybody really had the feeling of being powerless, like truly powerless, or at least that perception of that, right? Ultimately, we have power, but still that feeling of like there's nothing you can do, right? In this situation, I could be on the phone if I wanted, wasting money, calling my mom or crying to my girlfriend or calling a lawyer. It didn't matter. No matter what I did, I wasn't getting out of those four walls until these people said I could leave, right? And that is a tough thing to deal with, you know, fighting that your friends are out there and you're worried about what is she up to or what's happening here and all this stuff, right? But you have to come to a place of acceptance. And that's what I had to do. I had to accept that, look, this is where I ended up. I was mad at myself because I'd been angry at my father for spending his whole life addicted to drugs in and out of prison. I was like, oh, here I go, continuing the family tradition, right? And I decided like I needed to figure out what was wrong and what I was needing. And that's when I discovered meditation while I was locked up. I discovered prayer. My granny, who recently passed away, was a huge spiritual influence to me. And she was sending me books on meditation and it was just coming to me at the right time. So this all happened well before I ever got into any of this political stuff. Like I kind of had a vague fuck the government kind of mentality, but not any really philosophy behind it. It was just like, yeah, anti-authority, teenage rage kind of thing, right? But then when I got locked up in prison, that's when I could really start to peel back these layers and see how much pain I had in me and how, you know, where it was coming from. And it was a process. It was 2 to 3 years. I ended up getting out finally, October 2008, the happiest I'd ever been. I remember it was like, it felt like, honestly, it felt like this cloud had been lifted over off me that had been existing on top of me since I was a child. And for the first time, I could see again. I could see the sunshine. I felt happy. It was a weird feeling, but it was, that's why sometimes I tell people I'm 38 right now. I feel like I'm probably 15 because it felt like I wasn't awake till then, till I got through this experience. And all of a sudden at 24, I'm walking home from the shittiest job I've ever had that I have to take 2 hours, but 2 hour buses each way to get there. But I'm just happy to be alive. I'm taking naps on the side of the street and just enjoying the sunset, like, you know, totally different vibe. And that's when most of you have met me throughout those last 13 years. That started 2008, 2009. I started to get into activism, watched some documentaries, read some book. 2010, here I am ever since then, right? I share that story to say that, look, no matter what we're facing, we can overcome it. And even within our movements, I've met a lot of people who come to me and say, Derek, I have a drug addiction too, or I have a brother, a sister, or I used to, or I've never touched a drug a day in my life, but this is how I'm struggling, right? We all have real life struggles. Mental health is just as important. I'm going to get back to that in a little bit, but I just wanted to share this story because nothing we build is going to last or work for the coming generations like it needs to, because I'm not just building for me in my present moment. I'm thinking about my 6 nieces and nephews that I fight for every day. Because they're growing up in a world where these masks are normalized, where not seeing friends is normalized. All this stuff we know, right? And I'm thinking about their kids too. The ones I might not even get to meet. Can you do that? Can you comprehend fighting for something you might not see? So many of us are focused on instant gratification. I'm thinking generationally, because that's what they are doing. They've been working for hundreds of years planning what they've been building. They got us so focused on how many likes and clicks and everything right in front of me. Let's fill the void with social media and whatever else. We need to be thinking long term, beyond only our present lives, right? Look at all the young ones here. That's who we're fighting for. And the reality is we might not see the results of our action. I live that every day, knowing that I might not see the results of what I'm trying to do. My grandmother, she's in her late 80s, and she's been awake since, you know, she was before I was even born. And as I've gotten older and I woke up, I went to grandma and grandpa. Hey, have you guys ever heard of the Federal Reserve? Grandma, have you ever heard of this? And my grandpa kind of patted me on the head and it's like, welcome to the club. You know, no, they actually told me, they were like, you need to go look up this guy. He's out here in Texas. His name's Ron Paul. And I was like, grandpa, I just heard about him. You know, and it just helped me see, wow, this fight has been going on since I was before I was born. And it will continue even after we die. Right. But that's what we really have to think about. The healing is necessary if we're going to build institutions, not just alternative institutions. Okay, we're not their system, but we're still repeating the same problems, right? We're still bringing our ego and our trauma to the next stage. That's not going to work, guys. We will cycle back. As John said, that revolving door, that recycling, if we don't heal our trauma as individuals and collectively as a community, we will recreate these same systems. It might take a couple hundred years before we become those people that we've been fighting, but I guarantee you, every movement before us, every revolutionary movement around the world who has gone down this path and has chosen violence, or even like, let's put us in charge, we're the new political masters, they end up recreating these same systems. And our goal is to avoid that. You guys still with me? All right, let's start getting into the tech stuff. Before we do that, let me hear you. We are power.
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 We are made of soil, the earth, the water. We have all the elements within us. We all belong to this planet. We all have a space. We all belong here. All the different races and ethnicities and backgrounds and these nations that they've created and these names. At the end of the day, we are all in this together. And in a true way, not in their BS, we're all in this together COVID thing. But in a true way, we really are. Even our brothers and sisters, this is an important one that sometimes our movements here, I don't think, quite grasp, because we get into this holier than thou, we're better than those who aren't here kind of mentality, right? You've seen it. We've all done it sometimes. It's like, oh, we got it figured out. Those stupid people over there, right? Not remembering that those stupid people are people you love and care about. Because most of us don't have families who are totally on board with this. I'm blessed and honored to have my brother and my mom here. Please give it up for my brother and my mom. They've been working hard. And I'm not even saying that they're on the same page, that we all agree 100%, but they're open-minded enough to come here, right? And I know a lot of us don't have that with our families. That's why so many of you come here seeking new families, because we do feel like the outcasts or the black sheep in our families. I hear it from so many people when I travel and do talks. My son thinks I'm crazy. My parents think I'm crazy. My uncle, you know, it goes both ways. But if we fall into this trap of divide and conquer, we're the enlightened ones. They're all so horribly asleep. I mean, in the last 2 years, some of the things I've heard, guys, from our movement, which likes to make fun of the other people saying, oh, they're so compassionate. But I hear people say, well, my mom got the shot, so I guess she's basically dead. It's like, is that really the way you want to approach that? Like, I get the concern about people who've taken the shots, but from my view, I want to be there for that person, because if they do, let's hope not, but let's say they did get injured, You're going to want them to come to you for support, right? You're not going to want them to find a closed door and feel like, oh, I can't go to that person because now, you know, they hate me because I made a different choice than them. This movement, at least the movement we believe in, as we've been talking about, voluntarism, it is about freedom of choice. And that includes the freedom to get a vaccination if you choose. Now, that also means the freedom to associate with who you want, right? None of us should be forced to associate with other people. As I said yesterday, we're all here voluntarily and consensually. Nobody is forcing you to be in this auditorium or in this building. This is an example of a voluntary relationship. This is the kind of world we want to build. Now, we've been talking about the Freedom Cell Network. Ramiro, if you don't mind getting that up for the people on the stream. Maybe I'll step aside. Oh, wait, I guess I can stay here. So the Freedom Cell Network website, we're at 35,832. Everybody, pull out your phones right now, please. I know you got them. Freedomcells.org, freedomcells.org. If you're not a member right now, can I get a commitment to join this network right now? Just press join, and after my talk, finish filling out the process. Raise your hand if you're going to join the Freedom Cell Network today. Guys, it's not like I told you yesterday, we don't make any money off this. This is a totally free website. But if you join this and you search your area, you're going to find more people like you in your area. And if you don't, create a Freedom Cell in your area. And there's no commitment. Just create Houston Freedom Cell. And then next month when you're ready, plan a meeting at a local coffee shop or somewhere public. Get people to come out. See who you meet and see where it goes. That's just the first step. Don't wait around, man. Even in this community of us that are trying to pump you up, we still have people who are waiting for something. As an example, like we had the community networking last night. Last year, we had a bunch of people come up and say, hey, it would be so great if we did this community networking thing. They kept coming up to Miriam, and Miriam said, great, let us know when it's happening, and we'll promote it. And people were like, wait, no, me? Oh, no, I meant you. You do it. I'll just show up, right? Because everybody's waiting for Derek or Miriam or somebody else that they think. That's not what we're here for, guys. We're here to nominate you. Personal responsibility. We won't make it to the next stage if we don't start claiming personal responsibility, taking responsibility for our actions. So this is the map. As you can see, you can search, you can find groups and cells in your area. And Ramiro, we worked hard on this. And actually, this is the result of the Greater Reset 3. We raised $15,000 at the Greater Reset 3 to launch this website again and to build a better platform, to make the maps easier to find people. You can create a profile. You can go on there and put, we added what Ramiro called roles. So go down to the roles, Ramiro, a little bit. We got like landowner, land seeker. I'm a permaculturist. I'm an artist. I'm an activist. There we go. Natural builder, entrepreneur. These are just ways so that when you're searching the maps, you can readily, easily see, oh, wow, another artist. That's what I'm looking for, right? It makes you get that information a little quicker. Readiness level. Are you ready to meet online? Are you willing to meet in person? You're willing to come to meetings? You're ready to join on land? This helps give people that information quicker and sooner. Our goal here is using this network to facilitate connection. And then leave the website behind. Start meeting in the real world. And this is actually happening, guys. I started doing this in Houston in 2016 after being inspired by John talking about it. And if you go to Telegram and search Mexico Freedom Cell, you're going to see over 15 Freedom Cells that are now across Mexico just in the last 2 years. And I'm not saying they're all as active as I would wish them to be, but they are meetup groups. They're social. At the very least, they're helping people realize they're not alone. Of course, the next step is to actually start doing things as a Freedom Cell, right? It's not, despite what some people might believe, it's not a social club. It's not a place to just spam your events. It is a place to connect with people in the real world and to say, what kind of goals can we set? Okay, hey, within 6 months, I want my money out of the bank because I'm really concerned about this CBDC. And maybe your group, we all have that concern. We're all concerned that these central bank digital currencies, which are even being discussed here in Mexico, are coming in the next couple of years. And I don't want my money to be turned digital and taken away from me by the government. So how can we plan ahead? Okay, well, look, let's set a goal for each of us, whatever your group. Maybe you start with two or three and then it grows, right? Within the next year or even 6 months, maybe to be safer, let's get our money out of the banks, right? Okay, so that's the goal. And then you start doing a little checklist of what is that really going to take? Thankfully, I wrote a handy book describing how to do that, which you can download for free at theconsciousresistance.com/how-to. I have copies here if you want to sign. This is the second edition of my book. Some of you guys might have heard of it. I released this January 2020, which was a really interesting time to release a book talking about digital identities and social credit scores. I hadn't quite heard of the Great Reset yet, and we didn't know anything about COVID-19, But as a journalist, those of you who know my work, I've been focused on digital surveillance and digital tools for years. I've been warning about facial recognition since at least 2015 because I've been following that industry and AI and all this. And now more and more people are aware of it. But, and I don't know if those of you in the US have noticed that by the end of this year, facial recognition is going to be across the United States in order to fly. I don't know if you saw that. There was an announcement at the end of 2022, real quiet, all of these corporations riding the Biden administration to put this program into action. But don't blame Biden, because guess what? It was expanded by Trump and then expanded by Obama and then put into place by Bush all the way back to 9/11. So any of you who are still thinking you got some faith in Trump, I don't know what's wrong with you, but it's you're still welcome here. You're still welcome here. You're still welcome, but you'll see soon enough, hopefully. But the point is, these systems are all in place, and they are coming into action. So we can either sit here and be terrified and just watch conspiratainment all the time. Okay, what's Derek up to? What's James up to? What's David up to? What's Mark up to? Okay, now I'm informed and terrified. I'm ready to go to bed. That's what some people are doing, and they don't do anything. I mean, you just consume and consume and consume. And this is why I've become more meticulous and careful about the content I put out, because I don't want to just send you a video for the sake of putting out a video. Has anybody noticed how much of the independent media has become clickbait the last couple of years? You'll never believe this. Oh my God, it's happening. There's some channels that come to mind that we won't name, but it's disappointing to say for me as a journalist, but also because you have to recognize this, my friends, as consumers of this information. Some people are just happy to feed you the problems and keep making money off of your views. That's the reality. They'll spoon feed you garbage every day if you keep eating it. I want to put something better in your mind. I want to feed you some solutions, some ideas, right? That's what we should be focused on. So when I'm talking about facial recognition and AI, yes, these are realities. And I have no idea what we're going to do about that and how we could even potentially stop it. There's no smash this button and all of it goes away. So we have to contend with it. It's happening. It's in motion. Agenda 2030, Great Reset. All these plans are there, right? That doesn't mean it's guaranteed, but it's happening. Those people are meeting right now. Well, they're meeting there in Europe time, so they're probably done by now. But they met this whole week, the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, planning out how to master the future. Did you guys hear that quote from Klaus? I don't know if y'all, hopefully you haven't been paying too much attention since you've been here, but I happened to see it last night. Klaus Schwed said, we're going to master the future. Also, anybody remember war criminal Tony Blair from the old Bush days? He said something yesterday about the digital passports again, and they also talked about battery passports to tell how much energy you're using as you travel, right? These are ideas that are being floated out there, right? They're in motion. So what are we going to do about it? Again, the Freedom Cell Network. Building local community, get together. Okay, we know we want to get out of the system. CBDCs are coming. I want to get my money out of the bank. What are your options? I'm not here to tell you. I'm not here to give financial advice. I have ideas in the book. But whatever works for you. Maybe you're comfortable, as I am. Some people, it seems like people are so afraid of cash. I think this is part of the conditioning, too. People see cash and they assume there's a drug deal going on or something like that. They've got you afraid. You're just using the chip all the time or now the QR code or any of that stuff. But it's okay. I think it's better to take your money out of the bank and put it in a safe at home. You'll be happier you have your physical cash if they turn all your digital dollars into CBDC coins and they say you can only access this if you download the government wallet, which now has your social credit score attached to it and everything else. And it'll also tell you how often you can drive with your carbon credits, all that stuff, right? You know it's coming. So if you're not doing anything, you're essentially accepting defeat. Do you recognize that? If you do nothing, you are essentially accepting defeat. And to go back to the coming generations, the children we're fighting for, you're accepting defeat for them and you're passing it on to them. Every one of your kids and every one of our nieces and nephews and every one of them who are not even here yet are depending on us. And I say this every talk now for the last 2 years, but I don't know how to emphasize it more, guys. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. See the children in your life, your kids, grandkids, nieces and nephews, the people you love. And even just think, even if you don't have any of that, think of the kids. See them in your mind. They're running, they're playing, they're free. They have no awareness of any of this crap going on. And there's the kids who we don't even know yet. They're still waiting to be brought into the womb and brought into the earth. They've got so much potential. Holy shit, they can create the world we've been waiting for. But they need us to stand up. Do you see that? Can you see that they're waiting for us? It's either us or Or they get, you'll own nothing and be happy. It's either we create something different, we create what I'm calling Liberation 2030, Agora 2030, Freedom 2030, whatever you want to call it. If we don't put our mind in there, like Catherine was talking about, this backcasting or manifesting, creating, writing, drawing, thinking of your future, and not just talking about it, but living it. Saying, you know what, I do work 70 hours a week and I'm damn tired every time I get home, but I need to learn more about this permaculture thing and start growing my family some food. So I'm going to dedicate 1 hour, even though I'm tired when I get home from work, I'm going to do 1 hour of research on permaculture every day. 7 days later, you got 7 new hours of information. Within 2 weeks, you've got 14 hours of new data that you're adding to your, you know, your knowledge base. And within a month, you could be an expert on permaculture. You could be working at a farm if you put that time into it. There's really no time for excuses. No matter what our situation is, we all have different backgrounds. Some of us have more money than others. Some of us, you know, are ready to retire. We've already worked long and hard, and we just can't accept this idea that we're actually going to have to change our lives. But my friends, I don't think you can accept the lives you've lived previously and think you're going to make it through what's coming. A lot of people come to Mexico because they got out of Canada or Germany, and you know what they go do? Sit on the beach and do nothing. And assume that's it. The fight's over. I made it here. It'll never happen here. And then maybe even if they've got the money, they run to Nicaragua now. Because, oh, I heard it's a little more chill there. It's a little less expensive too. And then they hear, oh, it's free in Bali. So they go there. And they just keep running. And they keep running. And eventually those walls will come down and you won't be able to run. And you won't have any roots. You won't have a base. So wherever you are from, or wherever you're going back to, or wherever you want to make your new home, you need to start putting roots down. I've chosen Mexico and Morelia and this beautiful region that we're building our community that we've been telling you about. This is where I'm staking my claim. I'm not asking you all to come here. I need you to fight where you're at. I need you to build where you're at. Does that make sense? What time is it? How am I on time, everybody? 3:45? I think I got 15 minutes. Okay. Dang, I feel like I need 3 hours. Okay. All right, let's get into the big ideas here. So in this book, I talk about, I've recognized throughout, so I wrote this book in 2020. It came out, it became my most popular book because, not because I predicted COVID or anything like that, but it anticipated the moment that we are facing the rise of technocracy. And really briefly, for those who are unfamiliar, just like you've heard of democracy, it's supposed to be ruled by people. Technocracy is ruled by technocrats, technological experts. And where have we heard trust the experts? All over the place the last 3 years, right? It is clear, and as I write in this book in the chapter called COVID 1984, it is clear that the last 3 years have been a technocrat's wet dream. People like Bill Gates, who are not elected to government anywhere, but are guiding public health policy. That's a technocrat. That's how that works, right? Who's this guy? We never elected him. He's not even a doctor. Oh, he's got a lot of money and power through that money. Let's put him on news and blast him everywhere like we should be listening to him, right? That's a perfect example of a technocrat. So I wrote about this, then COVID happened a month later, and this book became really relevant. This is actually where the phrase exit and build comes from. So if you guys are hearing that come, I wrote about it first in 2020. It's this idea of exiting from slavery systems, is what I'm calling them now, systems that don't align with our principles, systems that aren't going to lead to that better world, and trying to build and or support those who are building better ones. So for example, when I say that, maybe I should explain. Build a better system. So in Ramiro's case, he's like, hey, we got this big tech companies. They're all up in everybody's phones. People love smartphones and the convenience of them and the use of them, but there's no privacy. Okay, well, I'm going to start a company trying to de-Google phones and strip them of all the spyware and add better programs to them, right? He exited from that system and he built something better. Now, I don't have those capabilities to build that. Instead, I support Ramiro and people who are doing that, right? That's what the exit and build idea is. Sometimes it's also about physical location. Many of you thought, hey, Canada's too crazy. I'm coming to Mexico or elsewhere. That's also exit and build. So that phrase has become fairly popular in various circles of these movements, thankfully, and more people are focused on solutions. And I decided that I wanted to write an update to this book. It has 5 new chapters and a new introduction because after the last 3 years, we've learned quite a bit. Like I said, we didn't even know the word the Great Reset at the time I wrote this book. We hadn't even seen lockdowns and travel restrictions and all this stuff that we are now familiar with. So I learned a lot myself, but also I toured the U.S. and Mexico, and I heard stories from people. I heard stories from people that said, Derek, when the lockdown started, I was so alone. I was depressed. I didn't know anybody. And then I watched The Greater Reset, and I went to a local watch party, and I met all these amazing people. Now we're growing food together. Now we pulled our kids out of school together. We went together, and we closed our bank accounts. Like, I was hearing these real-world stories, or people who said, I was so alone during COVID, and then I heard of the Freedom Cell Network, and I went to the website, and I checked the maps, and there was a group near me. Now we're building these backyard gardens, or we're, you know, we bought land, whatever the thing was. They started taking action. That's what we need. That's the only thing that's going to lead to change. So it works. Like, I keep trying to, you know, mention to people that this thing that we're all a part of here, that you're feeling here in Mexico, and I'm sure the folks in Texas are feeling, and I even hope those of you who are watching at home are feeling what we're sending to you. It's like, if you don't step into this and be a part of it, it's going to pass right by you. There's so many people that we know who are the kind of people that I'm talking about, who are just obsessively watching the content and doing nothing. Anybody have friends like that? Know other people? Whether you've met them in real life or just friends online. People who just, yeah, they post memes, they post articles, they do this, but they're not actually trying to change anything about it, because they're either, oh, Trump will come along and save me, or Ron DeSantis, or whoever the next political puppet is, right? Or Elon Musk is going to save me. Whoever that new savior complex might be, or they're just some people are what we call blackpilled. They've watched so much content, gone down so many rabbit holes, they think that it's totally hopeless. Any solution you can present, like, for example, when I tell people, hey, yeah, we're exiting a building, we're going to get some land, we're going to grow food. Oh, you really think they're going to let you grow your own food? Have you ever heard of Waco? They're just going to come bomb you and kill you, man. And could that happen? Could things get so bad that eventually all these free communities we build get surrounded by total statist areas, and they eventually say, you're not allowed to grow food, or your kids aren't vaccinated, or whatever, and they try to come shut us down? Could that happen? 100%. 100%. I'm not here to tell you we're going to go live in some fairy tale land and everything's going to be perfect. But we also believe in self-defense. And honestly, I'm just going to say it, that if I had to die like fighting for the things I believe in, or fighting for my own sovereignty, or to protect a child, or if I ever have children, to keep them safe and healthy from these people, what other greater cause is there than to stand up for what we believe in? And I'm not calling that out. I'm not wishing that or anything. I'm just saying, when push comes to shove, like I described what happened to the people in Chedon, they picked up the sticks, they picked up the stones, and they fought back when it was time. So that's not what we're here to do. But if they push and it comes down to it, I'm not laying down. I don't know. People say, oh yeah, Derek, what about when they pass the CBDCs? You're not going to be able to use your crypto then. Really? Watch me. You think I'm going to listen to some politicians because they say things or they write things on pieces of paper? That doesn't affect my freedom, my sovereignty, and it doesn't have to affect yours. Does that mean it's going to be easy? Does that mean it's not going to be scary? Not at all. We're going to face some tough times, my friends, and we're trying to avoid that as much as possible. But the reality is, there's some tough days ahead, I believe. But I also believe that this is the moment we were born for. I'm getting short on time, and there's a really big idea I want to introduce, and I do want to talk a little bit about the Conscious Agora. So I'm going to maybe go a couple minutes over, John, if you don't mind. So there's five attack vectors that I've realized as I was studying everything we've seen the last 2 years, five attack vectors that I've recognized. Now, the interesting thing about this, these are ways that I believe governments around the world were attacking the free people. But by understanding where they were attacking us, we can also understand where we need to strengthen. Does that make sense? One area, which we talked about, the kids, they're coming for the children's minds. They always have been, but now we're at a point where it's something we've never seen, where parents literally have to worry that when their kids go to school, they're going to start talking to their kids about gender reassignment things and say, we're going to keep this between us. We're not going to tell your parents. It's okay. We're going to start giving you, you know, that stuff is happening. And I'm not saying anything about that issue. I'm just saying the fact that they feel that confident to go behind parents' backs, that's a dangerous place to be, right? And again, I believe there is a direct effort to specifically drive a wedge between parents and kids right now. We've seen it with previous indoctrination. You can look at the Nazis and you can look at the communists and others trying to with their youth brigades, right? Getting in the kids' heads. And before you know it, well, the parents are just old. They don't understand what we're building. They don't understand our movement or our ideas, right? There's danger there. So they're coming for the kids. They're also clearly coming for the money. We talked about the CBDCs. They're trying to control you through money. We've seen people including myself and other people being kicked off Patreon, PayPal, people, you know, really having to feel the threat. Like Dell was here the other day. Dell, among other people, was listed as a disinformation dozen. And we kind of joke about that. We've had about six of the disinformation dozen on the Greater Reset over the years. But think about that. The government is literally at the point where they're listening to this propaganda outlet and saying, these 12 people are spreading dangerous information. And now we're finding with the Twitter files and other lawsuits that the government was literally naming people like Dell and RFK Jr. and others and saying, go after these people. Do you understand why Dell had security then? These are starting to not just be some funny things, oh, I got banned on the internet, but like people's livelihood, people's money being frozen in the bank accounts for giving to the wrong places, all these kinds of things, the money. The food, they're coming for the food as well. They're going to try to control your access to food, whether that's you can't get in the grocery store without showing your COVID shot thing or whatever the next thing is. That's one part of it. But it's also this deliberate inflation and driving prices up, messing with supply chains that just seem to randomly happen and factories and all the fun stuff we've been seeing, right? They're coming for the food. They do not want you to have the right to access food. And not only that, the type of food they want you to eat is very low in nutrition, if anything, right? And I'm going to come here to say this, that as a vegan, I am a vegan. Any other vegans here? And I want to shout out to my brother Paul and my sister Lauren for bringing the ahimsa message here, because it's important. And I just want to say that there are those of us who are vegan. Me and Miriam actually started a group called Vegans for Freedom / Vegans Against Agenda 2030. Because we wanted to not only wake up other vegans who are buying into this corporate faux veganism, Beyond Burger, Impossible Burger, GMOs, processed, all that stuff, but to tell other people, hey, just because we're vegan doesn't mean we're listening to Bill Gates or something like that. You know, we have our own positions and our own ethics and values for that. So, but even with that, yes, they are trying to get you to eat bugs. Yes, they are trying to take away your right to eat meat and to have access to that. And even though I am a vegan, I believe in voluntarism. And I don't think the government has the right to tell you what you can't eat. So as a vegan, I will fight for that right, even though I think what you're doing is wrong. I'm just being real. That's what voluntarism is about. It's not about coercing you. If you want to have a conversation with me, we can, you know, discuss. And I'll say, hey, here's how I feel about it. This is what I think about it. I think this is how we should rethink that. But I would never stand there and say, yes, don't control what goes on this person's plate for the good of the planet. Or for anything like that, right? So they're coming for the food. They're coming to get us. They're coming to us through the technology. This is why what Ramiro's doing is so important. And tomorrow, the entire day is dedicated to taking back our tech and getting off big tech. It's so important. It's been such a crucial missing element from these movements for so long. We're conscious in all these other ways. And then we're on our Google devices or our Apple, this and that. And, you know, has anybody seen the nets outside of the Apple buildings where people literally try to commit suicide? Because they're working, yeah, but everybody, how many, I'm not even going to say it, we got Apple in here, I'm just, like I said, I'm just putting things out there. If you feel a little funny in here, reflect on it. But if we don't start living in alignment with our values, we probably shouldn't expect to get anywhere better, right? The number one thing that inspired me from Samuel Konkin, who is the founder of this agorism counter-economics idea, which inspired so much of my work, and actually, next year, I'm going to be releasing a biography about him. It'll be the 20th year anniversary of his death. And this book is heavily inspired by him. And one of the things he said is that the only thing that will lead to a free society is the consistent application of our principles. And in this case, for me, the principles are voluntarism, the non-aggression principle. You own your body. You are your own free person. It's wrong, immoral, unethical for me to try to force my way on you, right? Does that make sense? So if we want to create a world based on that kind of idea of voluntary consensual relationships, we have to live it. We have to actually practice it. We have to embody that and show the children that's the way. We can't tell them, don't do wrong to others, and then smack them in the face when they're doing something wrong. And I'm not a parent, but I'm just saying, like, you're setting the example. And so, you know, people compliment me on different things in the way I carry myself or my presence. None of us are perfect. But I am constantly trying to better that better person that I aim to be. And I'm trying to lead by example for all of you. I'm still young. I'm committing to doing this for at least the next 30, 40 years of my life. And I'm sure I'll grow a lot and I'm sure I'll make mistakes. But I know that we can do some amazing things together, guys. Do y'all feel that? Okay, I'm really, really wrapping up. So the final attack vector, and remember, for every attack vector, there's a defense. Technology above phone. Food, grow your own. Coming for the kids, unschool, homeschool, or if you can't do that, be there. Be the best mom and dad. Be the influence in their lives that they need. Learn what they're trying to put in their heads. Teach them. Plant seeds. You know, I feel like my beautiful young brother here, who's 13 years younger than me, I've been planting seeds in his young mind since he was 5 years old. You know, I didn't start saying, Dylan, there's a new world order at 5 years old. But I did start dropping seeds and saying, you're going to grow through life and you're going to see that some of the things your teachers teach you aren't right. They're not correct. You're going to see that adults don't know everything, right? And he's his own brilliant person now. And I'm thankful to play even a tiny role in that. But that's the kind of thing you can do. I try to do that with my nieces and nephews as an uncle. I take them out. I show them a good time. And I let them know, you're so beautiful. Do you guys understand how beautiful, amazing you are? Like, I want them to feel that. I want them to have that strength that I feel like I lacked when I was that young kid. And in some ways, I'm still healing that inner child, you know? So we have to protect them. The final thing is emotional. There's a reason they locked you down. They want you to feel alone. They want you to be isolated. And what's the answer to that? Coming to the greater reset, getting together, ignoring what they say and coming together, right? So the kids, the money, the technology, the food, and the emotional mental attack. We have to defend against all those things. I probably should have gotten to this a lot earlier, but I'm just going to mention it. It's in the book. They have the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. How many people are familiar or vaguely familiar with this? Super briefly, 1992, Brazil, Rio, there's a summit, Maurice Strong, the United Nations, they declare that it's time to save the planet from global warming. Then fast forward a few more years, we get told there's this Agenda 21 that the United Nations has created. And this agenda is about saving the planet from climate change. We're going to do all these big steps, and eventually it gets renamed Agenda 2030, which you guys are familiar with. And part of that is the Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs. And the United Nations has 17 of them that they list. And it's like, they want us to believe that digital identity is a human right. So we need to get everybody a digital identity, right? These poor Mexicans who aren't in the system, no, we just need to get them a digital ID and make sure we can track them everywhere we go. We need to get all these poor Mexican farmers and these poor Indians, they're just not modern enough. So we got to get them digital IDs, and then that'll make their lives better. That's what their digital ID is, a human right. Now, many of you have come to realize that this is all garbage. They wear a mask, as our former speaker, rest in peace, Rosa Corey, called it, the green mask, right? It's a fake, it's greenwashing. It's a fake environmental thing, but it's really about, I'm just going to be real, as you guys know, it's about technocracy. It's about control. It's about controlling every aspect of human life, telling you how far you can drive, when you can shop, where you can go, based on how much carbon you're using, right? It's a control scheme. That's what it comes down to. And as I talk in the book, this is going to be the next stage. The climate lockdowns are being discussed and talked about, right? So whether it's a lockdown because of a climate or the next pandemic or whatever, we've seen their tactics. Lockdowns, travel restrictions, coercion, forcing people out of their jobs, locking people in their homes, quarantines, all those kinds of things. They will use these tactics again. You're going to see them again. I'm not here to predict when, but you're going to see them again. Maybe it has something to do with that exercise Bill and Gates and them did just a couple of months ago. You know, it's interesting thinking where we're at right now. If we went back to 2020, January 2020, we're right before things started. They did the exercise in October 2019, January 2020, we start hearing about things. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but for those of you who know what I'm talking about, Bill Gates and the usual people did another exercise nearly 3 years after Event 201, where they predicted another pandemic. And like I said, they're coming for the kids. This new pandemic affected the kids the most. Maybe there will be a mass campaign to try to get all those kids the shots that they didn't get before, right? We're going to see where it goes. The point is we need to be prepared for it. So they've got their SDGs. In the book, I propose what I call the ADGs, the Autonomous Development Goals. Just like everybody here is telling you guys, we need some direction. This is a beautiful movement, intersection of movements, but we lack focus. We lack direction. We lack plans, concrete planning and thinking. If you don't know where you're going to be in a year from now, and even among our beautiful crowd of super airy and flowy people, we got to start thinking where we're going to put our roots down and where we're going to be and what are we going to have? Because if you're just all over the place, you end up on the road and shit hits the fan and you have nowhere to go. You got no roots. You got no backup food put up. You got no community. That's something to think about, right? So the ADGs, I don't have time to read through them, but I'm going to mention a couple of them. And is everybody still with me? Okay, cool. This is where, I hope it's not getting too boring with this part, but I think this is important. Just like we created the Greater Reset because we want to counter the World Economic Forum. Well, I'm announcing the autonomous development goals. They're in this book, and I want every single content creator that's hearing this to contact me. I don't want this to be Derek Brose's project or the Greater Reset's project. I want to co-create these ideas with you guys. I laid out what could be the basis. It's just 10 ideas, 10 goals, autonomous development goals for free people like us. And the ideas, just like the corporations say, oh, I support the SDGs, the UN SDGs, or some presidents and politicians say, we need to promote the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I want people to start putting a logo or a stamp on their site that says, I stand with the autonomous development goals. Voluntarily, because it's all consensual, it's all voluntary. Autonomous goal number one, promote access to non-state funded forms of education that emphasize volunteerism, self-ownership, mutual aid, critical thinking, creativity, and self-directed learning. Is that a goal we should have? Goal three, create localized and decentralized food systems through community gardens and food forests and connecting communities with local food producers. This can be accomplished by making knowledge of permaculture and indigenous food systems available to the masses. That's what we're doing here. These are the kind of goals that I want to set. Here's another one. Promote, and this is a direct response to the You'll Own Nothing and Be Happy. Goal eight, protect the right of all people to access land. Protect the right to harvest rainwater, solar energy, and other resources that allow individuals to become self-sustaining. These are in here. You can download the book for free. Help me make these ADGs a reality. Please, we need plans. We need direction. And even if it's not this, help me come up with something better. Because if we don't know what our 2030 is going to look like, we're going to walk right into their world. We're going to own nothing and be miserable. But I don't know about you guys, but I'm doing everything I can, night and day, to make that not happen and to create an alternative path. Because when my young nieces and nephews get old enough to understand this, I want them to say, hey, Uncle Derek's been working for you. So now you have something else to go to. You don't have to go into that smart city if you don't want to. You don't have to put that chip in your hand. You don't have to do these things. There is another path. We've built something. We laid the foundation for you. That's what we need to do. My final thing, thank you, John, for your patience and everybody. My final thing, you know, I'm living this. I'm not just talking about this. Those ADGs, you know, I have a reputation for being out of the system and I do my best. And Miriam is my love and she deals with it even when it's difficult for us to figure out how to move money around and do this thing because, oh, wait, this system's not connected to this thing. And, oh, wait, we can't use Uber anymore because we don't have a bank account. And just thank you, baby, because it matters. And it feels so good when we make it work to show other people it's possible. And that's why we're not just talking about this. We've been here 2.5 years, going on 3 years now. We found a piece of land that we are working on getting. And we've raised about a good amount of money between our 7 people, but we're still short of the money. And we're coming to the community, those watching, those in Texas, those here, family, friends. If you've got $5, anything, and you want to contribute to what we're trying to build, this isn't just about saying, guys, please help us buy land. We want this to be a place that can be a hub to teach these things. I mean, I've talked to John and Ramiro. I imagine this being like a Greater Reset boot camp. Come to our land, and we're going to teach you how to build freedom cells. We'll do some spiritual meditation work. We're going to talk about building tools, how to use permaculture, self-defense, all kinds of ideas, and then teach you how to go home and build your own conscious agora. This is what I want to do with the rest of my life, is build this network of free communities. I've never tried to raise as much money as we're trying to raise here. We're aiming for $200,000. We can do it with less than that for sure, but anybody who can contribute to that, we would appreciate it. And please come talk to me or Ramiro or, excuse me, Jess or Ethan or Miriam about this if you want to learn more. And I'll be talking more about it after the Greater Reset's over. But I'd like to play you guys that video one more time before I wrap up. If you haven't seen it, this is what the Conscious Agora is about. Hey, everyone. My name is Derek Brose. For the last 13 years, I've been an activist and a journalist, and I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking for community, trying to understand how to create a better world. And I've done so many different things to try to do this. I've done protests and rallies and marches. I even ran for mayor, thinking that maybe this was the way to create the world that I want. And over the years, I've come to see that it's not really going to lead to the change I want, that if I want to see change in the world, I need to be that change.
I need to create it myself and live it and embody it. And so in 2016, I started thinking about this idea of creating an eco-village called the Conscious Agora. It would be built around the ideas of individual liberty, permaculture, and mindfulness, trying to create a better world, be better people, continually evolving as people all around. And I've been working on this idea for the last few years, but it wasn't till 2020, when my partner Miriam and I moved to Mexico, that this project really took on its next phase.
Hola, my name is Miriam, and my desire to live in harmony with all life has led me to learn permaculture, to learn different healing modalities, and also organize community events like group meditations and yoga classes. Our decision to move to Mexico led us to Morelia, Michoacán, a beautiful mountainous region known for its vast bodies of water and its rich soils. This right here is where we found the land and future home of the Conscious Agora. Filled with hills and springs and mountain water and delicious fruit trees, we fell in love. We looked for beautiful people who shared a similar vision. And for the last 2 years, we have been working together to strengthen that bond, that relationship. And now, these are the founding members of the Conscious Agora.
Hi, my name is Jess. Leading sea kayaking trips on the west coast of Canada gave me the opportunity to share my love for the wild and outdoor spaces and reconnect with nature. Now I'm excited to be part of this project, the Conscious Agora, that together with your help, will live as an example of what's possible when we live in a holistic and symbiotic connection with the natural world and each other.
Hi, my name's Ethan, and I am super stoked to be a part of this project. We've got a beautiful piece of land here in mind. It's phenomenal. For the last like 10, 12 years of my life, I've really been longing to be a participant in something like this that's focused on individual autonomy within community, as well as earth restoration and regenerative agricultural practices, permaculture, and all that kind of stuff. I've been into it for a number of years now, and I've been following Derek's work for about 5 years now, starting in 2018. When he put out the invite to participate in this, I was super excited. I was like, man, I gotta get involved in that. So here I am, they welcomed me into the project. The vision that Derek and Miriam have outlined of building somewhat of a template or a model for other communities to emulate and build from, that's very unique. There's nobody out there that I'm aware of doing this. So with your help, we can make that possible.
With your financial support, the Conscious Agora team will be able to complete the purchase of our land. From there, we will build the Holistic Education Center, which will be our home for teaching permaculture skills, natural building, self-defense, meditation, and other practical skills that you can use to empower yourself. Our long-term goal is to take all of the knowledge we gain and all of the information we have and share it with you, so you can create your own Conscious Agora where you live. Together, we can create a network of free communities focused on building a better world for coming generations.
Thank you for your support.
Because of you, the Conscious Agora is becoming a reality.
There we go. I'm pretty sure I'm past my time. But again, if you want to check this out, fundraiser.com/Conscious Agora. Guys, we're trying to be an example of this. I want to co-create this world with you. I really hope you'll join me on this journey. You know how I end my talks. Please repeat after me if you feel inclined. I am powerful. That ain't going to cut it, guys. That ain't going to cut it. I am powerful. There's my people. We are powerful. We are beautiful, and we are free. I love you guys so much. Thank you.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4 co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.